Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. And Father, our desire this morning, the deep desire of our soul, is that thy will be done in our heart and in our life. Our deep desire is that thy will be done in this ministry of sending forth thy precious word. Our prayer and our cry is that we'll walk in the pathway of righteousness and true holiness, and that our eyes will be set upon thee, and that we will follow thee with our thoughts and in our mind, and that it will be stayed upon thee, and there will be that childlike trust and dependence upon thee. For our Father and our God, we need thee, and we look to thee to work in our hearts. Our Father, we need a pure heart and clean hands this morning as we handle the holy things of our God. We need for the Spirit to work effectually in our midst as never before. Oh, we need the revival fire of our living God burning in our souls, and that we might be turned unto thee. Thou wilt have mercy upon thy people. Judgment must first begin at the house of God. And Lord, may it begin in our own hearts to separate us more from the world. And everything that is not of faith will be cast out. And our feet will walk in a pathway that will please thee. Lord, we need our faith to be strengthened. And may it be strengthened this morning as we look into thy word and to see all that thou hast accomplished and what thou art doing and are going to do. And we pray for those who are outside of Christ this morning. Our Father, that thy great grace will rest upon them. It'll be their time of love, and thou wilt be pleased to open their hearts, to draw them unto thyself. And we do pray that mercy will be granted to us. Lord, we deserve none of thy mercies. We deserve only thy wrath this morning. We confess it. But we cry for mercy. And those mercies which you said would be for us new every morning. For great is thy faithfulness unto us. And so we wait before thee, praying that thy faithfulness will be manifested even in our midst today as thy word goes home to our hearts. Give us grace to glorify thee. Fill us with thy Spirit to overflowing, that thy words may penetrate our hearts. That Christ Jesus, our Lord, will be lifted up and glorified, for it is in his precious name that we pray. Amen. We want you to turn with us again this morning in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. And let us read verses 1 through 10 again, as we give this 11th message in this exposition of these first 10 verses of Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We come to this 10th verse this morning. We looked at it briefly in closing our message last Lord's Day morning. For we came to that portion in verses 8 and 9 where we found that our salvation, the salvation that God gives to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, is a salvation that comes to us wholly and completely by the unmerited favor of God. It comes to us by grace. And when you say grace, and you've said it all, and that excludes all of works, it excludes all of boasting, it excludes man completely, because salvation is of the Lord. Now I want you to see this morning that this portion that we've been on for these 11 weeks is just a continuation of that first chapter. For the subject does not change until he gets to verse 11. All the way through verse 1, he tells us exactly what he tells us in verse 10 of chapter 2. And this is what I want you to get this morning by the grace of God. It is my desire, it is my heartfelt desire to glorify God in all that is said this morning by His grace, the Holy Spirit working in us. You will notice that verse 10 reads, "For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus." This follows the expression made in verse 8, that it is by grace and grace alone that we are saved, through the instrumentality of faith, and all that we have by the grace of God is not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. This grace and salvation, this instrumentality of faith, is the gift of God, and all of it comes to us completely apart from works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship. We are saved by grace, for we are His workmanship. This is the thought that God wants to get over to our hearts this morning. We are His workmanship. In other words, we are God's handiwork. I want you to notice what he says. For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now, if salvation is by grace, and it is, if the work is completely of God, and it is, because we are His workmanship, and if only God can create, and only He can, then it has to be all of grace and all of God, doesn't it? That's what it comes down to. We are His handiwork. He made us. He designed us. He purposed that we should be to the praise of the glory of His grace. He created us through our union with the Lord Jesus Christ for this life of goodness that He has ordained that we should walk in. Now, this brings us to something else. There is no such a thing as a man being justified and not being sanctified. For justification and sanctification are the two sides of the one coin of the salvation that God gives to us in Christ. When He justifies us, He sanctifies us or sets us apart for His holy use, for He has ordained the works that we should walk in. He has ordained the way in which we should walk. And everything from beginning to end is of His work in us. The paths that we walk in are prepared ahead of time by the Lord that we should walk in them. The good life that He has given to us in Christ has been prearranged by God. Now let's look at this. Go back with me to chapter 1. Where does the blessings that we have in heavenly places come from? Blessed be the Lord, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We are His workmanship. We are His handiwork. It is God's work in us. What does verse 5 tell us? That we were predestinated under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. And who did it? It was according to the good pleasure of God's will. Amen. Look at verse 6. We have been made accepted in the Beloved. Whose work was it? It was to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He made us accepted in the Beloved. Look at what verse 7 tells us. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, and how did it come to us? According to the riches of His grace. Look at verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, and what was it? That according to His good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, God might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. God purposed this. Verse 11, He says, we have obtained an inheritance. And how did we get it? It was in Christ, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. We keep coming on down. We get to verse 18, and we find that God has done something, that He's rich in glory, that He has a great inheritance in the saints, and that it is by His power to usward that we have been made to believe, and that according to His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. And then when He gets to verse 1 of chapter 2, it begins with an and, still the same thought. He puts in three verses. He lets us know, the individual, that all of this is bestowed upon. He doesn't leave us in the dark as to whom God has bestowed so great salvation upon. It's to a man and a woman, a young person or a boy or girl, who by nature is a child of wrath, verse 3. That individual has been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That individual has been adopted into the family of God. That individual has been accepted in the Beloved. That individual has been redeemed through the blood of Christ. That individual has had all of their sins forgiven. And this based upon the riches of the grace of God as manifested toward us in Christ. It's to a man. It's to an individual who is under the wrath of God. It's toward an individual who is dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 1. This grace of God has been manifested toward an individual who walked in time past according to the course of this world. In other words, they walked in the world. They were of the world. They spoke of the world. They thought of the world. Everything they did was with their worldly mind and worldly heart. They were governed and motivated by the power of the prince of the air, and that is Satan himself. They were children of disobedience. They had their conversation in times past. All they thought of and all that they did was the lust of the flesh. They fulfilled the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Everything was calculated to fulfill the lust of the flesh and the desires of the mind. But God came in verse 4. God did something, and God began to work. And what did He do? Well, verse 10 tells us. He made a new creation. That's exactly what He did. He made a new creation. Beloved, if you're sitting here this morning, a child of the living God, I can tell you one thing that you are. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. God did something to you. You are His workmanship. You have been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, what is he? He's a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Listen to it now. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and God commanded that light shine out of darkness, and God created. Are you listening? I said that God created the heavens and the earth. And what happens in the new creation? God speaks. God commands. And what does He command? He commands the light to shine out of darkness and shine into our hearts to do what? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God does something. He's at work in the universe. Beloved, don't you ever believe the doctrine that God is dead. Don't you ever believe that Satan rules and reigns to such an extent that God is shut out of His universe. God is at work in the universe today. God is at work in the hearts and lives of men. Amen. God is carrying out His purpose through Jesus Christ our Lord. God is not sitting idly by, waiting for man to do something. God is active. God is at work. And if I didn't believe that, I'd quit preaching. I'd never come back to this pulpit again. If I didn't believe that God was on the throne and that God was at work in His universe. God is at work in the souls of men. God is at work sending forth His Word. Everything is of the Lord. How can a man read the Bible? How can a man with an open Bible from Genesis to Revelation not believe that God is at work today? I don't care how dark it may seem. I don't care how wicked man seems to be. I say that God is at work. For whenever a soul is saved, that is God's workmanship. Amen. That is God's creation. God has done something. Because it's all of God. God is not passive. Man thinks that God is passive. That God sits there, and that if we cry to Him, He's going to give us something. He waits for us to approach unto Him. He waits for us to come and to be blessed. He waits for us. He's listening. And there's a sense in which He does hear our cry. But God is not passive. God is active. God is at work. Beloved, if God had to wait until you and I made up our minds to seek Him, He'd be waiting throughout eternity, for we would never seek Him apart from His grace to make us willing in the day of His power. We are His workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. It was God who made the earth. It was God who made man. It was God who sought man after he sinned. It was God who called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees, or he would have never left there. It was God who made a covenant with Israel to bring them out of Egypt into the promised land. It was God who called the prophets. God called them. It was God who made David the king. It was God who built the tabernacle or gave the instructions to build the tabernacle and the temple. It was God who sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. In the fullness of time, Christ came. God sent him. He so loved the world that he gave or he sent his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God is active from beginning to end. Last night my wife was in the bathroom and she heard me holler out and she come in and she said, "What in the world's the matter?" Well, I didn't tell her anything. I said, "Forget it." But you know what I was thinking? I was thinking over my life. And I was thinking of all that God had purposed and planned for my life from eternity. And that God knew the family that I would be born into. And God would know the day when he would start that work of grace in my heart. And God would know the day when he had created a new heart and a new nature within me. And God would know the day that I would do this and that I would do that. And the time came that God sent me completely out of where I was in the land of my fathers into a land that I knew nothing about, that I might go there, that God might teach us for 9 years before we came to Pensacola, Florida. And I went over all of this and I said, God is at work. God has ordained this. God has been chiseling. For you see, I get the picture of the potter and the clay. I get the picture of the man in his quarry, and with his chisels he is taking the stone and he's making it in an image that he wants to make it in. And I see God at work. And God has ordained to bring us unto Christ. God has ordained to make us new creations in Christ Jesus. And God is at work. Brother, I can't deny that. There's not a soul in this house this morning. If you've been saved by the grace of God, there's one thing you cannot deny. You cannot deny that somewhere, someplace, God made you a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. And that God was at work in your heart. And God has brought you to this hour. I have not brought myself here. I'm not here this morning because of anything that I've done before or after God saved me. I'm here only by the distinguishing grace of God, that God in his workmanship, God as the potter, has made the clay and molded it in the image and likeness to Christ that he wants and desires. And he's going to finish it one day by his almighty power and by his almighty grace. And I'm waiting for that day because I know that it's not finished yet. Amen. There's too much chiseling yet to be done. We are God's workmanship. Think of God in his workshop, mind you. Think of him in his workshop. There he is, the potter with the clay. And he takes it and he molds it and makes it in the image and the likeness of himself. Is this not the picture that we get in Paul's words in Romans chapter 9? When he says, "But nay, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me not thus? Has not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor?" We are God's workmanship. He is in the potter's house, and he is making us after and fashion us after his own will and his own way. I want you to notice there, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Now, God in his own way, and God after his own will, makes us what we are. I got to thinking the other day, some men's ministry, it's seemingly over before it starts. David Brainerd died at the age of 32 or 29, one of them, McShane, the other one. Two holy men of God that he used in different continents to preach his word was over. Their life was over in 5 or 6 years of ministry. Others lived to be nearly 100, and their ministry went on. The greatest preacher that ever lived, Brother Spurgeon, died at what I would call the young age of 57. And here I am, 65. And still, and the ministry just opened up around the world to us. God is sovereign in His operations, in His workmanship, in doing what He wants with us. Some men He lets go to college and get a college education, seminary education, and the degrees behind their name, and that's wonderful if a man can get it and use it for the glory of God. And I have to sit at the feet of these men as they just open up the Word to me. And here's a man standing before you, just barely got through high school. God's sovereign in His operation, in His workmanship, in what He does with a man, and how He does with a man. It's God's workmanship. It's God creating. It's God at work in our hearts and in our lives. You said, don't I enter in at all? I'll ask you one question. Have you ever prayed? If you ever prayed and the prayer has been answered, who answered it? If you ever preached and God blessed it, who blessed it? If God gave you strength to do something for Him, who did it? Did you ever perform one good work by yourself? Did you ever bring forth one good thing, one thing that God did not have anything to do with? How about the fruit that you produced for the glory of God? Who produced it in you? What is it called? It is called the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? It's of the Lord. I praise God for this. Then I can look back and I can see where He said, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We can look to the Lord. It is of the Lord, and we have been created. Brethren, the most important thing that ever happened to a child of God is that he's been created. Recreated. Formed in the mother womb of God and born by the Spirit of God to bring forth fruit unto God. And it is God working in us. God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, shined into our hearts. We might give the glory of God, give the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And there's nothing in the world that gives God more glory and rejoices our hearts and at the same time humbles us before God. That God takes me just as I am and makes me in His likeness. God takes me just as I am and He fashions me like unto the individual that He desires me to be. I am like clay in the hands of the potter. As I think of my whole life, as I think of my Christian life in this world, I think of it in terms only of what God has worked in me. That's what he's talking about in our text this morning, for we are his workmanship. Now, how does God do this? How does God do this? Well, he does it by his Spirit. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. How does God do this? It is by the Spirit working in us. As the Father has sent the Son, and the Son has come to work out our salvation by His death, burial, and resurrection, then the Father and the Son sends the Holy Spirit to apply it unto us. God works in us, and God makes us what we are, that He may fashion us in the image and likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at what he says in Ephesians 1, verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, That we should be what? Holy and without blame before Him in love. Or I look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of God, watch it, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now why did God save us? Romans chapter 8. Why did God make us a new creation? Romans chapter 8 tells us, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. It is God who called us. It is God who is making us in the image and likeness of His Son, and He does it by the Holy Spirit. Now, how does the Spirit work? How does the Spirit work? Well, He works in our hearts by the Scriptures. He causes that Word to be sanctified in our hearts. In our Lord's high priestly prayer in John 17, where He says, Father, sanctify them or set them apart through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. He uses the Word to set us apart. What does He say in James 1:18? That we are begotten by the Word of truth. What does He tell us in 1 Peter 1:23? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. You see, that Word is a living Word. Just as that seed, just as the male sperm in the ovary of the female unites and life is given that birth may come forth, so the Word of God in the hands of the Holy Spirit is a living Word. It is put within the heart by the Holy Spirit. I didn't put it there. And neither did you. If you're here this morning, created in Christ Jesus, God condescended to put that living Word in your heart. It was an incorruptible Word, and it was there. It laid there, and when it was there, it did the work. Whether it took a short time, or it took a long time, that made no difference with God. That Word was hid away in the heart. You heard it. Wherever we heard it, however God got it to us, He got it to us. And He hid it away in our hearts. It's an operative Word. And that Word begins to convict us of sin. We tried to run away from it. We tried to resist it. We tried to throw it away. We got busy in business. We might have went out and got drunk, trying to drown it away. We might have went off into pleasure, off into sin, saying we'll have nothing to do with it. But that Word wouldn't let us alone. It followed us day and night. Sometimes it was stronger than at other times, but it was there. It was the Word of God, that living Word in our hearts. It was God at work. It was the Spirit that was making it operative in the soul. And this is the way God deals with our hearts. And I praise God that we cannot run away from it. I praise God that we cannot run away from it. God hides the Word there. That Word is a living Word. He likens it to the birth As we are born of the flesh, we are born of the Spirit. And that Spirit must work in our hearts. And I praise God for this. He convicts us. He begins to show us our sins. He begins to disturb us. He begins to convict us. He begins to arrest us by His law. The hound of heaven will not let us escape. God continues to come into our souls, and He will not leave us alone. And that is the help and the hope that I believe that God is at work. We begin to resist it. We don't want it. It's against our nature. We will not have it. But it continues to enlighten our minds. We begin to see truth. We begin to see the truth of who God is and all of His holiness. We begin to see that God is upon the throne and that He hates sin. We begin to see that God is angry with the wicked every day, and if he turn not, he will whet his sword. We begin to see that the fires of hell are burning for us. We begin to see that we abide under the wrath of God. We begin to see that we are lost. We don't know the way back to God. We begin to see that we have no spiritual strength to come to God. We began to understand how our far distance from God. We're made to smite ourselves upon our breast like the man in the temple. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God begins to deal with our souls. Whether it takes Him an hour or 100 hours, He's sovereign in His operations, but that is the process. That is the way that God deals. There is not a soul yet that's ever been born by the Spirit of God that is someplace, somewhere, God arrested him. I have read of the conversions of little children saved by the grace of God at the age of 6 and 8 and 10. And they will tell you that God arrested them and they saw that they were sinners before God. That's a work of God's Spirit. No man is going to believe that of himself apart from the work of the Spirit of God, enlightening his mind and opening his heart, and God working that work of grace in the soul. Something else we find out as the Spirit deals with us. We find out that God has been pleased to give us a new nature. He's created something in us. He's created a cry in our hearts. We might not come to full assurance of faith, but He's created something within us. It was the first time in our lives we are seeking God and holiness. We are hating sin. We're looking upon sin as the filthy thing that God hates. And we're really amazed at what's going on in our heart and in our life. This is God at work. He's at work in the soul. This is His workmanship, creating us in the image and likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are amazed that we are crying to God for holiness. Sin never bothered us before. Oh, we might have got mad when we had a hangover because we got drunk. We might got mad and swore off of gambling because we lost all of our money. We might say, well, we don't beat our wife anymore. Well, that's remorse. But God has given us repentance now, and we're turning to God from sin. We're turning to God with a hatred for sin. We're turning to God with a change of mind about sin. We find in ourselves an evil heart of unbelief at all that this God has done for us. Yet we cannot by faith lay hold of it apart from His enabling grace in us to look to Him. God is at work. God is doing something. It's His workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus into good works. Beloved, this is not some decision I made. This is not my idea of turning over a new leaf. This is not an idea of joining the church. It's not an idea of being baptized. It's something of a new creation. God has worked something that was not there before.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? I was not in existence before November 1922. I had to be conceived in November 22 to be born in August 23. I was not in existence. And I was not in existence spiritually until God came. And God planted that seed of the Word in my soul. And God put in my soul a cry after Christ. And God came with His almighty power and created it within me a new heart and a new nature. And I began to cry after the living God for holiness. I wanted to be like Christ. I wanted to be through with sin. What made me cry yesterday as I went to the store? And again, my eyes had to see the things of the world, and filth just came up like that. What made me say, Lord, one day I'll be finished with it. One day I'll no longer be tempted by it. No longer will I have to cry, make me like Christ, for I will be like Christ in mind as well as in spirit and soul and body. Who did this? Brethren, I didn't give myself that. That's God's workmanship. That's His creation. And I'm going to preach it till I die that the salvation is the work of the Lord. All of this that we've been studying and meditating upon in Ephesians 1 through this 10th verse is of the Lord. How is this dead sinner going to get out of the grave? How is this child of nature, a child of wrath, a child of disobedience, how is he going to turn himself? Jeremiah said, how can the Ethiopian change his spot? The leper change his spot and the Ethiopian his skin? He cannot. Neither can he that is accustomed to do evil do good apart from the grace of God. We are His workmanship. He's ordained by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. In this very same book of Ephesians, He said, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ. He has sent forth these men. And then how does He carry on this work? And that's what's been our messages on Sunday evening, hasn't it? He's going to do it. He's going to do it if He has to chastise us. Beloved, this work will be finished. This work is not left to us. We do produce good works. And we do walk in them. But if you're anything like me, you are crying daily, Lord, You work in me. And there's not a soul in this house this morning, save by the grace of God, that doesn't cry every day, Lord, You work in me. Give me Your thoughts. Cause me to walk in Your way. Cause me to be clean. May my thoughts be pure. May my motives be pure. May my speech be with grace, seasoned with salt. May my feet walk in the way of righteousness. May my mind be stayed upon Thee. Are you crying those things? Well, of course you are if you're a child of God. Why? You're God's workmanship. He's at work in you. He's working in you that you might be made in the image and the likeness of Christ. And then you hear the Word of God. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetous, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Why do I desire that kind of life? It is because I'm His workmanship. created in Christ Jesus unto good works, before ordained that I should walk in them. God doesn't perfect us in a moment. Oh, beloved, I would it was so, but it isn't. He doesn't perfect us in a moment. There's not some magic thing that we get to. Not some place where we get some feeling or leave it all with God and go off and forget it and we're perfect. It doesn't work like that. God's at work in us continuously. That's why I say God's at work in His universe. Because God's at work in His children everywhere upon the face of the earth. And I don't care who they are or where they are, what language they speak, if they have been made a new creation in Christ Jesus, whether they are white or black or yellow, and it doesn't make any difference about who they are, what color, where they are, if they are children of the living God, they are His workmanship. Amen. And He's at work in their hearts. Talk to them and they'll speak the same language. They'll call in unto God for holiness and they're hating sin. For God's not at work in the heart. You believe that? Brother, I believe it with all my soul because the Word of God teaches it. That that's what goes on in the human heart. By the grace of God. But praise God, it's going to come to perfection. He's not going to leave it. He that began a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. That day's coming. When? I don't know. I don't know. But it's coming. Amen. How many more years God will let me live? I don't know. How many more times I'll cry unto Him for forgiveness and deliverance? How many more times I'll cry unto Him to be made in His likeness? How many more times I'll cry out against sin? I don't know. But I do know one thing. By the grace of God, being His workmanship, I'll continue to cry that to my dying day. I want to be like Christ. You know what's going to happen? If He delays His coming, one day the Holy Spirit's going to say, look up. He whom thy soul loveth has come to get you, to make you like Himself. Or if it's in death, the angels will come and bear us on their wings. The Word of God says, into the presence of God, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be made in His likeness. And we all have that same desire now by the grace of God to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. But we're here until God comes. We're going to attain under the measure of the stature of the fullness of God. There will be a day when there will be no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, no blemish at all in the believing people of God. What a glorious, glorious day. And beloved, what a glorious, glorious doctrine that we preach in this morning. That's all right here in that 10th verse. We're His workmanship. We're His workmanship. Christ cannot and will not lose one for whom He died. He will be able to say in that day, like He said in this high priestly prayer in John 17, Father, all that Thou hast given me, I have lost none of them. And He's going to be able to say, Father, here I am. And all the sons which You gave me, Hebrews 2, they are all here perfected, made in My likeness. You gave them to Me, and now I give them back to You. They're made in Your likeness. And there we shall be with Him forever and forever. Oh, glory, glory, glory. We shall be with Him forever and forever, made in His likeness. He shall not lose one of them. And think of it. All of this He did for us that we might be, that He formed us, that He might be in us forever and forever. It's a perfect work. It's a complete work. Can I ask you a question? Think with me. Are you God's workmanship? Are you God's workmanship? Has God worked in your heart? Has he done something in you? Have you been dealt subjectively, like I've talked about this morning, by the Spirit of God? Are you conscious and aware that you're in the hands and the presence of the living God in Christ? Are you aware that God is at work in you? Can you say he has dealt with my soul? Do you agree with this doctrine I'm teaching this morning from the Word of God, or are you fighting against it? Do you believe it, or you say amen in your own soul that this is what God has done and worked in my heart? You have no argument with me. Because you see, I am what I am by the grace of God, and that's it. And so are you. But I ask you the question, are you desiring holiness? Are you desiring that Christ would cause you to walk by His Spirit in the way that He's ordained, in the way of righteousness and true holiness? Do you understand the plan of God for you? That God's design was prepared for you before the foundation of the world? And it was not some thing that you did, but it was something that God did? He worked. I've made the statement over and over, and I'll make it again this morning. I had nothing to do with my natural birth. Did you? Did you have anything to do with your natural birth? Who in this house born themselves? Anybody here this morning born yourself? Did you conceive yourself in your mother's womb? The answer is no. And so that which is born of the flesh is flesh. If I had nothing to do with that, I have nothing to do with the spiritual birth, because I could not conceive myself by that word of truth. I could not work it in my soul. God worked it in me by His almighty power, and the work that's been accomplished, He has done it. I can truthfully say this morning, by the grace of God, that I am His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that He ordained that I should walk in them.
The Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. He came in mighty fullness then. His witness through believers won the lost, and multitudes were born again.